My study tonight, and you know, I've been working on fruit of the Spirit now for some time, a year or so, and I've even done light within the fruit of the Spirit as far as light being the subject. But tonight I'm going to do a study on fruit of the light that's in Ephesians 5:9. And I'm going to be working with Ephesians 5, 9, and 10 as my heading for tonight. And, this the light that is displayed here is Christ, without a doubt. And it is us as body members to walk with this display of this light. And through studying the Scripture and understanding and letting it soak in and allowing the Holy Spirit to work within us, I feel this allows us to be the display of Christ's light. Because we are His display here on earth, even though, because He's not walking the earth now. And we are the embodiment of Him. So we have a chore to be that example as His body members. You know, if you think about it, that's pretty stout. And it's a chore. But it's not hard as long as you keep Christ as your center. Ephesians 5, 9, and 10, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And I've said it before quite a few times that goodness is Christ's virtues, righteousness is Christ's direction by having the law of God written on our hearts. We don't follow the Ten Commandments, but we have them written on our hearts. Not only that, but we have the other laws that are not displayed on signs every street corner you go down, but the other 613 laws that most church members don't even know what they are. But we have these laws are written on our heart because we trust in the Spirit and follow His guidance. So when we soberly, consciously, intentionally allow Christ to direct our path with the virtues of His goodness, directed by Christ's direction in His Word, which is truth, we will shine with the light that is spoken of here. Because the truth in His Word is Christ. It's His Word. And the whole of this starts in verses 1 and 2. Because, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love. Because love is what? It's the last of the commandments. A new commandment I give you. As Christ has also loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Chapter 5 starts with the words, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. The Revised Version corrects this to, be ye therefore imitators of God as beloved children. Members of the body are asked to do nothing less than become imitators of God. We are also being saints of God, told that we are light. Here in Ephesians 5, three times, verses 8 and 13, by using Christ as our guide, we will light to those, we will be a light to those we come into contact with. Think about it. We'll be a light to those that we come in contact with just by keeping Christ as our center, as our focus, within our hearts on a constant basis. The context in Ephesians goes on to tell us just what this involves. In 5:2, it's to walk in love, even as Christ also loved you, and gave himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice of God, an odor of a sweet smell. In Ephesians 5:1-10, Rotherham states it, "Become ye therefore imitators of God as dear as children beloved, and walk in love, even as the Christ also loved you, and delivered himself up in your behalf, and offered and sacrificed unto God for a fragrance of sweet smell. But fornication and all impurity or covetous, let it not be named among you, even as becoming saints. And shamelessness and foolish talkings or jesting, which is beneath you, but rather giving of thanks. For this you know, if ye take note, that no fornicator or impure or greedy person who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one be deceived you with empty words, for because of these things is coming the anger of God upon the sons of obstinacy. Do not then become co-partners with them." You know, Rotherham tells it in a plain and downright English language. "For ye were at one time darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. As children of light, be walking. For the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, putting to the test what is well-pleasing unto the Lord." Cecil has said over and over again that this life that we're in is nothing but a test. We're tested to see if we're worthy enough to pass into the resurrection state. It's pretty much as simple as that. In Colossians 1:12, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. For the fruit of the light," this parenthesis is introduced to point out the road in which children of light ought to walk. The author, naturally, is the Holy Spirit. The fruits of his sanctifying operations multiply: all goodness, righteousness, and truth. This is the conversation that may be called walking as children of light. We can see that there is a note of unison joined to the words goodness. It says all goodness in verse 9. "To show this is of chief regard, and that we must not be good in one sort or kind only, but fruitful in every good work." In Colossians 1:10, "that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing." Being fruitful in what? Every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God. A Christian, a body member, a believer, should be made up of goodness. His very constitution and trade must be goodness, as Paul used. Christ as his example, so should the body today. He speaks of habits, not of acts. When the heart is constituted, put in this frame of mind, it's hard to do otherwise, and when these habits become your walk, you become an example of Christ-like light. For us to walk as children of light. The fruits of the light are real and sensible acts appearing in the dispositions and lives of saints. The apostle here speaks of what is visible in the lives and conversations of men. For he exhorts Christians to walk as children of light. Now, walking is a metaphor which signifies the outward conversation and actions of man in their daily life and manner towards others. And using children as the example. With all the pure innocence that they have, how much more innocent than that of the little toddler that hasn't been corrupted by the world? I'm imagining that everybody that I'm looking at here are grandparents. And we know what our little grandchildren, how precious they are in our sights. We know that they can't do no evil at this time. Not physically, they can't. This is what the example that Paul is displaying here as far as being children of light. These children glow in your eyes like no brighter light could, because I have grandchildren and they're the same in mine. Goodness is that the spirit which we receive by the gospel worketh in all goodness in the hearts of believers. Goodness is both moral and beneficial. The moral duties were set by God in Deuteronomy. See, I have set before thee in Deuteronomy 30:15. See, I have set before thee this day life and good, and death and evil. Goodness implies a readiness to do good to others to the utmost of our ability, for good is ready to give of itself to others. I've stated before that the opposite of hate, or what was it? Yeah, I think it was. The opposite of love isn't hate, but it's selfishness. So the opposite of hate would be selflessness. Righteousness is the exercise of that goodness in the whole conduct of life. Righteousness lies in living in obedience to the laws of God. What is the laws of God for today? To love one another unconditionally, especially those of the household of faith, in Galatians. How many are we looking at right here are of the household of faith? 100%. The truth is the director of that principle and its exercise to the glorification of God and the good of mankind. In verse 9, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. That is, in this context, walking as children of light. But it's proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Let's look at a few places in Scripture that what is acceptable unto the Lord. In Psalms with David, 19:14. David says, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. See, David gives God the credit because it's due him. In Proverbs Solomon 21:3. To do justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice.
What?
Justice and judgment is more acceptable to the Lord than sacrifice? We find God rejecting and abhorring sacrifices if they were not accompanied with a real repentance and inward sincerity of mind. So it don't matter what your sacrifice is, if your heart isn't right within that sacrifice, God's not going to accept it. The very first sacrifice between Cain and Abel, Cain's was not accepted. Abel's was. In Romans 14:14-19, and the acceptable to God would be in verse 18. I know and am persuaded by the Lord Jesus that there is nothing unclean of itself. But to him that esteemeth anything to be unclean, to him it is unclean. He's talking about the person that you're in his home, or it's your brother that you're talking to, or that you're in contact with. But if thy brother be grieving with thy meat, now walkest thou not charitably, destroy not him with thy meat, for whom Christ died. Let not then your good be spoken evil of, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify one another. Can't get more plain than that, can you, from Romans as to what is acceptable to God. In Philippians 4:15-18, in the verses in 18. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. You see, the Philippians gave to Paul. They helped him. They sent him nourishment if he needed it. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desired a gift, but I desired fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound and am full, having received Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell and sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. Now that wasn't food or merchandise. It is not that I seek after the gift, but I do seek after the fruit that aboundeth to your account. What I do seek is your spiritual good and the abounding fruits of your faith, which shall be put down to your account against the day of reward. That's what Paul was saying. In Philippians 4, verse 8, says, finally, my brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are of honest, are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things. Virtue is another essence, the moral value that is displayed in a person's walk that shows the world who the center of his or her life is. The virtuous walk, the walk of light, the walk of light of Christ in you. 1 Timothy 2, 1 to 4. I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all goodliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. So what is good and acceptable here? To will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And to us, the knowledge of the truth is Scripture rightly divided. And when I do talking with customers at the barbershop that taught Scripture, I work in right division into the subject. That's our task as body members, is to correct and to help people come to the knowledge of the truth. Because you have to first know Christ before you can even start to come into right division. When we talk to our grandchildren, they come at us with questions. And I don't get angry with them, and I just give them the truth that's before them. And then when they get old enough to do some studying, then we'll sit down and study word for word what each one of them says. The virtue definition is behavior showing high moral standards. Virtue is also, the Greek form is dunamis, power, virtue. When Christ was walking through the streets and the woman touched the hem of his garment, his virtue went from him. He felt it. That virtue, that dunamis power. So virtue plays a couple of different roles as far as the English word virtue, but it has different Greek forms that gives it different meaning. The least word study on Philippians 4:8, I had to put this in here because I knew this was going to be a short study. I was originally going to play an audio of Oscar Baker because my study wasn't really completed as the way that I wanted it to be. But this least word study, I had to put this in here because it just touched me on Philippians 4:8. We come now to a list of Christian virtues which Paul exhorts the saints to make the subject of careful reflection. The word true in the Greek text does not mean truthful in the sense of veracious, but true in character, in the mindset, in the widest sense, honest. Is the translation of a word which was used in classic Greek in the sense of venerable, inviting reverence, worthy of reverence. The word exhorts here to a due appreciation of such things as produce a noble seriousness. The word just is from the Greek word meaning both just and also righteous. Here, righteous is, in a comprehensive sense, the Greek word pure. Speaks of purity in all things. Lovely speaks of that which is adapted to excite love and to endear him who does such things. One could translate by the words winsome, pleasing, amiable. The words good report in the Greek text are literally fair speaking, thus winning, attractive. The word if refers to a fulfilled condition. The word virtue in the Greek text was used in classical Greek for any mental excellence, moral quality, or physical power. Paul studiously avoids it. Only here does he use it. It seems that the apostle includes it in order that he may not omit any possible ground of appeal. Lightfoot suggests whatever value may reside in your old heathen conception of virtue, whether consideration is due to the praise of man, the expositor's Greek Testament translate, whatever excellence there is, be or fit object of praise. The word think in the Greek speaks of the act of careful reflection. How scarce a commodity this is in our mechanized age. Translation, finally, brethren, whatever things have the character of truth, whatever things are worthy of reverence, whatever things are righteous, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are attractive, whatever excellence there be or fit object of praise, these things make the subject of careful reflection when he says, think on these. By doing all this, you will be that light that Christ wants us to be. I know I am at the bottom of the heap as far as being the one to be able to tell who to do what. I'm just expressing that this is the way that I, Tony McCurry, needs to display myself on a daily basis to the world, to my wife, to my family, to my grandchildren, because we are their example to give them something to look forward to being. In Romans 12, 1 and 2, speaking of acceptable to God, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. By living in God's will and giving yourself to His direction, the saints will be an example of children of light. Philippians 1:9-11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve all things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere without offense till the day of Christ, being fulfilled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. I feel like the reason I was having problems with this study is because I feel like a Baptist preacher. I guess because I listen to Charles Stanley every morning by waking up, and I think I'm still kind of stuck on the Baptist preacher format. So instead of being a teacher, I'm being a preacher, I'm you know, stepping on my own toes when I'm saying all this stuff. But my last verse is 1 John 1:7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, our Lord and Savior. We have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sins. The light is the Holy Spirit, Christ. Thank you. And that's my study for tonight. And I appreciate y'all. And thank you for putting up with me. And I love y'all. Dear Heavenly Father, in closing, we just want to tell you again that we love you, Lord. And thank you for all that you do in and through us, through the Holy Spirit, and gives us these words. If there's just one person that gets the loving message of this tonight, I thank you, dear Lord, for allowing me to deliver. For it's in all these things we ask in Christ's name. Amen.